Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, signing week edition. I'm Jim Galante, joined by Andrew P. Shea. We'll have Ross Tucker along a little bit later for Tucker's Tape and Ask Ross. And then in quarter number four, we'll get Andy back. And this is known as the tease. We've got a very special guest who's going to join us in quarter four also. So you want to make sure you stick around for that. Andy, let's start with the news of the week. And first, let's start with non-signing day news.
Let's do that.
It can only be described as a stunning turn of events. Quarterback Taquan Roberson has entered the transfer portal. Did you see that coming?
You saw that coming about five snaps into the Iowa game, I would think. Like, okay, this is not your answer as your number two quarterback when for the first time this past season Sean Clifford had to step aside from a game. It's a crowded house, that transfer portal. I mean, there's even just this past week, there's a couple big name quarterbacks, you know, and on top of a couple big name quarterbacks last week, here's a guy who spent basically 3 years getting himself prepared as a reserve. And when opportunity knocked, he didn't lay down very much good film or give himself a great opportunity, but he's got to go to the transfer portal anyway, because, you know, Penn State went with a true freshman when Sean Clifford couldn't go again. So that handwriting was on the wall. It was interesting from a coaching perspective to watch it. And it's that difference between what are you doing, you know, to get yourself prepared should the opportunity knock, and what actually happens when opportunity knocks. And he simply wasn't ready. And that's a tough place. We granted him all that. And, you know, it was a tough game, and it was a tough environment. It was a big stakes game, but man, that was unfortunately for him, right, the person, that was an epic fail on so many levels, and not because, in my opinion, not because they were at Iowa in a top 10, you know, matchup of two top 10 teams in a big game. That had very little to do with it. It was everything about, wow, this kid is not prepared in any way, shape, or form for this. And we granted him every struggle. You saw, like, okay, kid, just don't care. He didn't get much help, but that's beyond it. He was not ready, and I don't know. I mean, I can't see, I just can't see a Power 5 school even looking or considering him in any way, shape, or form.
I'm in agreement with you, Andy. We're not going to see him transfer to another major program. But I think what gets forgotten in all this, we all can look back and see that was not a great experience for him. It wasn't some good stuff put on tape, as you put it. But right, one of the things that gets forgotten is after the game, he faced the music.
He met with the media,
answered all the questions. That was perhaps even a tougher position, and he showed a lot of poise and a lot of guts by standing up and answering those questions. So we wish him well. Hopefully he'll land in a place where it'll work out for him, and he'll get an opportunity to play. Let's hit a couple news items from the actual signing day, Andy, on Wednesday. As James Franklin likes it, it was fairly quiet. But the one bit of news was one of the offensive line commits from St. Francis Academy in Baltimore, Maryland, Andre Roy. He was a commitment to Penn State, and last minute, kind of unknown, he decommitted, and he committed to Maryland that day. And what I'm sure is a totally unrelated event, sarcasm intended, one of his high school teammates did something very similar, a highly regarded linebacker. He had committed to South Carolina just this past weekend, only to end up signing with Maryland also. So what do you think? Crazy coincidence?
No, this was a stunt. This was two 18-year-old 17, 18-year-old kids that came up with an idea that in recruiting circles, they're going to pull off a stunt, right? Like, you know, we're Pisons. We're peas from a pod. We're going to go to Maryland. And they pulled off a stunt that I think they thought was pretty cool, but made them look kind of not very good. It's okay to, I'm okay. You decommit and change your mind, but the way that played out on two levels. One, I just think it's just not a very good look. I mean, recruiting's got a little bit of cesspool to it. I know, you know, we're not going to disagree on that. It's not the cleanest sort of landscape, but this is kind of a new kind of like, maybe you thought this was a good idea, but the actual optics of it are, it just doesn't look very good. Penn State's perspective, it's an offensive lineman, right? Like, hello, that's their position of sort of James Franklin's tenure, the sort of, if you look back over the entire course of it, you say, you could, objectively, you could have a couple different opinions. You kind of think he's missed that five-star elite quarterback. I think, you know, soup to nuts, A to Z, is James Franklin's the head coach of Penn State. I think his biggest problem is the offensive line. That's my two cents. And goes from Penn State's 2022 recruiting class now goes from 4 to 3 offensive linemen. Doesn't 3 feel a little short to you, Jimmy? But 4 feels like a better number. It's a bit of a problem. I'm sure James and the staff, they probably kind of knew this because they left that, they kind of did that where their board didn't have a spot for him. But it kind of sticks them a little bit because 4 offensive linemen and 3, you're kind of looking at the development and the timeline. You're like, yeah, 4 is a good number. 5 is a great number. 3's that, I'm not so sure about that number.
In listening to James Franklin talk post signing day, he talked a bit about the transfer portal. It seems like offensive line may be the number one priority when he goes into the portal. He may already have a couple kids lined up.
Yeah, it seems like him and Troutwine are trying to. Yes, I agree with you. There's, you know, you're hearing a little bit of like maybe there's a Troutwine type offensive lineman. He's looking for a certain type of lineman to coach and develop. And I'm not a quote unquote big fan of that. I understand what that means, but I'm also like, yeah, but you got a dude with skills, and you should be able to coach him too. It doesn't have to just be your kind of guy. But they have to, right? Like, they had everything in 2021. They had experience. They had, you know, a good bit of depth. And they had guys that they were comfortable with. And they had been around the block, and they absolutely, you know, belly flopped in the middle of summer in the pool, going off the high dive, not even the low dive belly flop, Jim. This was the high dive belly flop. They were that consistently bad. So, you know, it has to be because it can't look like it has to a degree in 20, although you could argue that they got better as 2020 went along during the COVID season. Man, they kind of got a little bit worse and a little bit worse and just – as 2021 went along, they became a serious problem.
You got to think that they're going to look at offensive line the way they improved the defensive line last season, where you got players who, not disgruntled backups, but perhaps starters at their current school in a smaller pond. You got Derek Tangelo and Arnold E. Bikiti, both who were starters in their respective programs at Duke and Temple and made the step up to a Big Ten conference team. And I hate to think where the 2021 Nittany Lions would be without those two players.
Yeah, and think about it at another level, right? Like, Arnold was great from the jump, right? Ebikidi at defensive end. He was consistently good. And his goal was sort of to play, you know, not at Temple, but be able to show that he could play on a power five, bigger power five conference level field. And he was good from the beginning, right? Think about PJ Mustipher going out in the Iowa game and never coming back. And think about how much more Derek Tangelo had to be, you know, consistent and sort of be that dirty grinder that he was, and very good at it without his sort of, you know, his wingman and the marquee guy. That guy was gone, and then you had to play Derek, and Derek Tangelo's your, he's your second half of the season, he's your premier defensive tackle. What a, I thought under the radar, he was one of the most valuable players for Penn State in what he had to do in the absence of P.J. Mustipher.
No doubt that he plugged a big hole, and I don't want to go too far down this path, Andy, but having sure. now reached that point where the transfer portal, while it may not be ready to replace, you know, the high school recruits, you've got to be an active player in the transfer portal to have a complete team.
You excuse me, you absolutely do. And one of the things I've been kind of, I was kind of reading about and curious about, like we haven't talked about it or made a segment, but I've been kind of reading things about the transfer portal's impact on recruiting, and I'm looking for it to see. I don't have any thoughts or opinions yet, but I'm just sort of learning about it because it's such a wild, wild west and came about so fast and was so aggressively impacted college football that there is trickle down, and I've been looking to figure out sort of what I think about the trickle down and how it impacts recruiting. I haven't figured any of it out yet, but it's definitely going to be a trickle down, right? Like it is. It absolutely is.
Well, Andy, the one place where you can come to some conclusions is the recruiting of high school quarterbacks has reduced quite a bit because teams are looking to the portal for the quarterbacks. And that, I did read, has already borne itself out. If you look at the raw numbers, fewer quarterbacks are coming in through high school, and right. some teams are just, you're finding your quarterbacks. And if you look this season, it was so many of the high-level quarterbacks throughout the country. One last note from signing day. There were 25 commitments going in. There were 23 guys who signed. We mentioned Andre Roy. The other player who didn't sign was Tyrese Mills, a safety from Lackawanna Junior College. He didn't sign, but apparently from all I hear, not a concern there. It's just fulfilling some academic obligations. And a safety coming from Lackawanna, stop me if you've heard that story
Jair
before.
Brown.
Exactly. But overall, it was a pretty quiet signing day for James Franklin. That's the way he likes it. Pretty much his commitments came in and signed. I thought it was interesting and fun that the big name Drew Aller, he was the first one with his commitment in. So that let it off. And I think Penn State did a great job, if you watch the video, bringing back some of the prior Penn State players to make announcements and so on. Andy, that's it for quarter number one. We'll see you back here in quarter number four.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.